Romans chapter number 2, there is this world, this country, it's pretty crazy right now. There's a lot going on, and don't worry, I'm not going to talk about it, all right? But all I can tell you is this, I've been getting a lot of questions, you know. I can tell this of a surety, we're not in the tribulation.
Right. Amen.
All right, there is no mark of the beast yet.
Right. Right.
So I can tell you that, according to the Word of God, all right? But I can also tell you this, that you're getting a glimpse of what's coming.
Yes.
It is a glimpse, and is a foreshadow, and these are good days compared to what is coming.
Yes.
And I'm thankful I won't be here.
Amen.
But while we're here, we have a work to do. Amen. And so the more I see and the more things are going the way they are, I can tell you this, that He is coming. He is coming. Anyone that knows the Word of God and you know what is going to happen, you know, me and another pastor were talking Friday, and he said, boy, it's scary. And I said, it is. And then he said, but it's exciting too. And I said, it is. Because He is coming. And if you haven't read the back of this book, you ought to read it.
Yes.
And what you're going to see is we're getting closer and closer to the day. And I rejoice in that thought. I'm excited about that thought. You know, Grace is praying for about another month and a half before the Lord comes back. But but He is coming, and I thank the Lord for it, and I rejoice in that because I'm saved.
Yes.
And I can rejoice in the day of the Lord because I know the Lord's coming back one day, and I'm thankful to know that I'm ready to go. But understand this, that there is a day of judgment coming. And as I see all these things coming to pass, and I see what all the world and the way that it's going and the direction, and this is no new message. What I'm preaching today, even Peter wrote down in his time that there were people already scoffing, saying, we hear what you're saying, but the Lord hadn't come back yet. And so I'm sure here 2,000 years later, that same voice is out there, but make no mistake, He is coming. And when He comes, there will be a judgment. I just want to read one verse, and just look at this verse today. We'll refer to a few other verses, but look in Romans chapter 2 and in verse number 16. It says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. I'm going to look at this verse today, kind of outline this verse and talk about this one verse today. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for the Word of God. Lord, as we see the world around us, we pray for our nation, we pray for the world, we pray for souls to be saved. We do believe we're living in, Lord, these last days, Lord, as Your Word said. Your Word gave us things to look for in the last days. We see so many of these things. So, Father, our hearts are excited, comforted, and somewhat anxious, Lord, as we live in these last days. But, Lord, I pray that, Lord, the soberness of the reality of the last days would settle in our hearts this morning as we look at this verse of Scripture. I pray that Your Spirit would speak as only He can. I pray You'd hide me and please lift up Your Word and Your Son today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. I want you to see this real quick. If I had a title for the message, it would be Romans 2:16. And I just want to break this verse down with you today. Number one, I want you to consider an appointment. An appointment. It says, in the day when God shall judge. In the day when God shall judge. There is an appointment for every one of us. We all, one day, will stand before God. That day is appointed. Brother Sousa, can you put a verse up for me? Acts chapter 17, verse 31. Just look at this verse on the screen with me. But Acts chapter 17 and in verse number 31 talks about this day that is appointed. It says, because He hath appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Notice what it says, because he hath appointed a day. When God appoints something, it's going to happen. God has appointed a day in which he shall judge the secrets of men. You and I will stand before God one day. There is an appointed day. Psalm chapter 37 and verse number 13 says, "The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming." There are those who act like there isn't a judgment day, and what that psalm is saying is that the Lord will laugh at that day, not just making humorous of things, that man actually thought that he was going to avoid what God said is going to happen. The Bible says in Proverbs that the man that rejects the wisdom of God, the Lord will laugh at his calamity. In other words, the Lord, it's a mockery that we're making. In the same way, if I can give you the idea of what's going on, it's the same way, I'm trying to find, everybody's over next door in junior church, Madeline Huggins, right? If she walked up and came up, to Brother Sean Elam and said, "Welcome to the church, I'm going to beat you today," right? She brings out her fist, right? You laughed. Yeah. She might take a crutch to you. That's true. Right? Yeah. But we all smirk. We all laugh. We all giggle. Because that isn't going to happen. That's what it says when God shall laugh at that day. That man thinks, "No, you're not going to judge me." And the Lord says, "Yeah, you will. I'm not going to live your way, and I'll be just fine." No, you won't. There is an appointed day. There is a day. That day is coming. We all will stand before the Lord. Keep your finger right there, but look over in Romans chapter number 14, just a few pages to your right. In Romans chapter 14, look at verse number 10 with me. In Romans 14 and verse number 10. It says this, Romans 14, 10, "But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." That day is coming. There is an appointed day. No one is going to escape this appointment. The Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die. We all have that appointment. Someday, if the Lord doesn't come back and call us up to meet him in the clouds, we will all one day meet that appointment of death. It's just a reality. And when God appoints something, it's going to happen. There's been all kinds of people and all kinds of stories throughout the history of this world where men has tried to cheat death, tried to escape death, tried to avoid death, but no one has successfully done it. Because death is an appointment. Even the two that we know that lived on this earth and haven't died, I personally believe that that appointment still awaits them. With Enoch and Elijah, it's Travis Burke's personal belief that they'll be the witnesses that come in the book of Revelation who will preach the truth and will be slain before the entire world, but then will rise again. I believe God's preserved them for this appointment. We all have this appointment. This appointment of death. And just as much as you look around you and no one escapes the appointment of death, so no one, neither, shall escape the appointment of standing before God and being judged. You are not the exception. I am not the exception. There is, number one, an appointment. Back in our text, it says, in the day. That day is coming. Secondly, I would write down this next word, in authority. In authority. The verse is, in the day when God shall judge. God is the authority. I'm not the authority. You're not the authority. I don't care what initials are before any man's name on this earth, a PhD, a doctor, president, senator, policeman, pastor, deacon. None of us are the judge. God is that authority. We will one day stand before the authority. And he's a completely fair and just God. In John chapter number 12, I can read this verse to you, or Brother Susan might be able to put it up. But John 12, verse 48. Listen to what the Bible says in this verse, in John chapter 12, and in verse number 48. Jesus said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." There is a judgment coming, and the authority is God himself. And being completely just and fair, he's given us his word. If we didn't have the book, then you could question the justness and the fairness of God. And I'm not being blasphemous there. You know, if there was no constitution, and there is one, but if there was no constitution, if there were no laws, if there were no speed limit signs posted, you'd have an argument. You know, if you get pulled over on Route 28 between here and Blanchester, speed limit's 55. I travel that multiple times every day. Speed limit's 55. And I've never gotten a ticket there. Praise the Lord, right? There. Got a few out of place. But there, right? You know, but speed limit's 55. Now, if there were no markers set up and there were no laws, and I know there are because I've been helping my nephew study for his driving test. We're working towards it. Pray for me. Yeah. But if there were no markers, you could stand before a judge and say, "Well, I didn't know." You'll never stand before God with an excuse. God has given us his word. I told Sunday school class this morning, we were talking about witnessing and being a soul winner. And the fact is this, that we live in a very skeptical world. Everybody is skeptical of everything. So are you. It's rubbed off on you. We're all skeptical of everything. I don't care. You know, you listen to the news, you're skeptical. And you've chosen the news that you listen to because of your skepticism. We're skeptical of everything. Anything that's ever posted, we're skeptical of it. We have created a culture that is scary. You say, "Well, all this politics, no wonder." Here's the problem. It's affected the spiritual. And that people sit in church skeptical. They'll hear it preached from the Word of God with skepticism. Because we will not accept it until it makes sense to us. And we've applied that to the world, and it's coming to the church. If you try to witness to people and tell them about the Lord, they're filled with skepticism. I told our Sunday school class, and you know it's true. You get out of the car to put gas in your automobile, and you look at the person on the other side with skepticism. What are you doing? I mean, that's the culture that we've created. And it used to be a day when someone could get up, and my grandpa would preach until he's red in the face and holler with sweat going down his brow and his veins popping out of his neck, reading the Word of God, and everybody said, "Well, if that's what the book says, that's what it is." Not anymore. Not anymore. A spirit of rebellion and skepticism has set in to where we have made the authority me. I'll decide what is true. I'll decide what is right. I will be the determinant factor here. My friend, when we get to heaven and we come to that appointment, which we will come to, God has appointed it, and we stand before God, your opinion will have no weight. Your thoughts on things will have no weight. We will be judged by God according to His Word. This is the absolute authority.
Yes.
And we will be held accountable to the Word of God. I want you to see in this passage of Scripture that there's an appointment, there is an authority, and then I want you to see the third word I wrote down is arbitration. It says here in verse 16, in the day when God shall judge. There'll be a judgment. You say, what all is going to take place at this judgment? Well, I believe according to the book of Revelation in chapter 12 and verse number 10, there is an accuser of the brethren. There is an accuser of the brethren. That is the devil. The devil loves to accuse God's people. And the problem is, we give him plenty of ammunition. Say, what do you mean by that? The devil can point at every one of us in this room who are saved and point out some serious flaws, weaknesses and failures in our lives. He's an accuser of the brethren. But while the devil and the accuser of the brethren will be there, unfortunately, that's not like the worst thing that stands against me in this judgment. It's what's been apparent in my life. Everyone's heard the phrase, the devil made me do it. Not most of the time. If you're a believer, none of the time. The devil doesn't make us sin. If you're saved, you've overcome that wicked one. There's no temptation that God is not giving you a way of escape. But we all have failures, don't we? We've all sinned since we've been saved. We've all done these things. And someday when we stand before God, the devil's going to point at them. And my life, unfortunately, there'll be way too many things that I will be ashamed of. We will stand before the Lord. Now, here's a wonderful blessing. If you're saved, we're going to at the judgment seat of Christ. Our sins have been taken care of on the cross. Praise the Lord. But I am going to give an account of my works. In other words, what I did for God, because there's a matter of reward. There's a matter of me wasting my time and all the things that were wood and hay and stubble. Those things will just be burned up as a fire would. And what I wasted my life on will not matter. Only what I've done for Christ. And I want to stand before God one day knowing I did something for the Lord. Because when we see Him and how worthy and wonderful He is, as the song goes, we'll wish we had given Him more. Yes. And that's every one of us. Yes. And while that judgment is coming, and I know there's the accuser of the brethren, I know there's what is apparent in my life, but I am thankful today that there is an advocate for the believer.
Yes.
In 1 John chapter number 2, let me read this verse to you real quick. In 1 John chapter 2 and in verse number 1, the Bible says this. It says, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. That's the judge. Our advocate is Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm thankful today that despite the apparent things in my life, despite of the accuser of the brethren, you that are saved, you child of God, you and I have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ the righteous. Praise the Lord for that. Someday, and I'm thankful for this, though the devil has plenty to say and point at, and though my life has plenty of faults and failures, I have an advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom I have put my faith and trust in, The blood, His blood, speaks on my behalf there before the throne of heaven. My sins have all been taken care of. They're washed. They're underneath. And instead of standing before God as a wicked sinner, which I am, I will stand before God clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that holy God will say, justified. Praise the Lord. The devil say, but don't you know? Justified. All I see is the righteousness of my Son. I have a witness, the blood speaking on my behalf. The Lord Jesus Christ, my advocate, He's put His faith and trust in me. I arose, I conquered death. His sins are forgiven, they're covered. He's your child. Praise God for that. I thank the Lord for that. What a blessing. What a blessing. Turn over real quick and look at Revelation before we go on. Look at Revelation chapter number 13. I'm sorry. That's the wrong verse. Turn back to Proverbs 13. Sorry, I apologize. Could not read my own writing there. Apologize. I got excited when I was writing these notes. It was exciting, right? Yes. It says there in Proverbs 13, look with me in verse number 6, it says, righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way, but wickedness overthroweth the sinner. I'm thankful today that His righteousness, it will keep us. Yes. His righteousness will never fail us. And someday when I stand before God, I have failed God. I hate it, but I have. But I'm thankful that my salvation is not dependent upon me. My eternal security is not dependent upon me. If the Bible said that I have to keep myself, I'd be in trouble. But when I got saved, I was placed in the Father's hand. And there's nothing that will ever be able to pluck me out of the Father's hand. And I'm thankful today that His righteousness will keep you. Thank the Lord for that. In our text, there is an appointment. There is a day. There is an authority, it's God Himself. There will be an arbitration. Now, I've talked about us as a believer. Before we go on, if you're not saved, you will not stand at the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible teaches if you've rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, you will stand at what's called the Great White Throne. Yes. And there before a holy God, it will be revealed how you denied the Lord. You rejected the Lord. I don't know exactly how God will do all this. But Revelation makes it very clear that the lost will be judged by their works. The fact that you're sitting in this auditorium, if you're not saved and you die and stand before the great white throne judgment one day, you'll remember this.
Right.
A day when a preacher just begged you, if you're not saved, please get saved today.
Right.
You know that judgment's coming. You know there is a Lord Jesus Christ. He's there. He wants to be your advocate. But you must put your faith in Him. There is an arbitration, but in our text, I want you to see an accountability. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men. I say accountability because of this. You and I will be held accountable. Ready? Even our secrets. And we all have them. Everybody has them. And I don't mean a completely negative thing when I say that. Our minds instantly go to the negative.
Right.
But in Galatians chapter 6, listen to these verses. Galatians 6 and in verse number 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And again, our mind goes to the negative. Verse number 8, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Verse 9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have, verse 10, therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. When I say that we're going to reap what we sow, when I say that God is not mocked, it isn't just, our minds just go there, and we've heard a lot of preaching against sin, and we need more of it,
right,
that you're not going to get away with sin. God sees those sins. You're going to be held accountable. You reap what you sow. But that passage of Scripture where we draw that from primarily is mostly in the positive. Amen?
Right.
And the positive as in this, if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap life everlasting. Do good. Don't be weary in well-doing. Do good to all men. Now, what is the primary focus here of Paul here in this passage? Do right, and it will be worth it.
Yes. Yes.
Jesus said these words in his Gospels that even a cup of cold water given in his name, God takes notice.
Yes.
There'll be rewards for those things. The secrets. A lot of times when I say God's going to judge the secrets of men, that accountability, we think, oh no, all the things that no one knows about me. Where at the same time, if you're serving the Lord, there ought to be some excitement. Praise God. Maybe other people don't know, but God knows I've been faithful. And my friend, we don't do it to earn something for ourselves. We do it because God is worthy, and I want to stand before Him one day and just in a heart of gratitude, the Lord, whatever He recognizes, and He says He's going to recognize things, but I know this, that we will just cast it all at His feet and say, you're the only one worthy, but I want something to cast at His feet. I want Him to know that He was worthy, not just when I get to heaven, but He's worthy of serving right now on this earth. He's worthy of my time. He's worthy of my sacrifices. So that little dollar bill that you give some kid whenever they come to church, you just want to do it and you don't announce it and you don't want your name on the screen. So-and-so gave that child a dollar. You don't want that, but God took notice. That card that you sent to that believer who was struggling or hurting, the church may never know, but God does. That bathroom that you mop the floor, nobody knows you do it, but God does. And you'll be judged according to the secrets of men. Now I'm going to get to the negative of that, but I want you to see the positive, because Paul brought that out, and be not deceived, God is not mocked, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now if you reap to the flesh, it's going to be corruption and problems. But if you sow in the Spirit, there will be a reaping. So don't be weary in what? Well-doing. Do good to others, especially those in the household of faith. My friend, pour your life out. God sees everything.
Yes.
And we don't do it for the applause of men.
Right.
And I'm thankful no one in this auditorium has ever come to me and say, excuse me, Pastor, could you put my name on the screen? No one knows I wash the doors. Right? That's never happened. I don't believe it ever will. And if someone does ask, I'm going to tell you no. Right? Or matter, to make it worse, I may tell you yes. I may say, so-and-so wanted me to put this up there. Right? No, but right up. Just kidding. All right, yeah, right? But the fact is this, we don't do things for men's applause.
That's right.
But make no mistake, everything you do for God, He sees. Everything. Isn't that awesome? You picking up that little kid, God saw it. You putting gas in the bus, God saw it. That little bit of extra you put in the offering plate to meet a need, God saw it. That tract that you passed out, God saw it. That flower you left at the door, God saw it. God sees all those things, and one day we'll be judged according to the secrets of men. In other words, God, those are the precious things, the gold, the silver. Those are things that when the fire of God's judgment comes, it just shows itself in a more beautiful way. The secrets of men. Our secret services, praise the Lord, keep on keeping on. But your secret sins, confess today. Psalm chapter 90 and verse number 8 says, Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. There are things in my past, in my life, there are things in your past. And if it's today, let's get it right. But there have been secret sins in our life that maybe no one else knows about. And maybe for a while we think we're getting by with it. But my friends, God knows everything. Matthew 12, verse 36 says, Every idle word that came out of our mouth, we will give an account for one day. When I read that verse, Thou hast set our iniquities before thee. I tried to describe this before, a simple definition between iniquity and sin. Iniquity is the thought process that takes place in our minds before our actions follow it with a sin. It's the inward thoughts. It's the corruption that is in our thoughts and hearts that leads us to these sins. And maybe no one else can see, but God does. And one day, all of us, according to the verse, there is a day, an appointment, when God, who is the authority, shall judge in arbitration the secrets of men. We will hide nothing from him. And you're not hiding anything from him now. So what if there are those things? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. If you'll confess those things and turn from those things, you know what God will do? According to his word, he'll forgive you and cleanse you. Isn't that awesome? And when God cleanses something, it's gone. So get those things right today. Number five, and I've already said it, there's a sub point, so I'm not going to preach on this a long time, but in the day appointment, when God, the authority, shall judge arbitration, the secrets of men, accountability, but again, just to say it, we have an advocate by Jesus Christ. He will judge us, look what it says, by Jesus Christ. What does that mean, he judges us by Jesus Christ? In other words, our judgment will depend upon what we've done with the Lord Jesus Christ. We will be judged by Jesus Christ. The secrets of men, God's going to do the judging. The secrets of men by Jesus Christ. What we've done with the Lord makes all the difference. I know my time's about up, so listen to me. If you've received the Lord Jesus Christ, it changes everything about this judgment. If you have lived a life that has reflected the Lord Jesus Christ, it changes everything about this judgment. If you have lived a life that has reverenced the Lord Jesus Christ, it changes everything about this judgment. in our opening scriptures we read this morning. Reverend is his name. That's why at the nursing home, when I first started going to nursing home, they put on all their signs, Reverend Travis Burke. And I went to Darcy and I was like, will you just put Pastor Travis Burke? Because there's only one who is worthy of the title Reverend. And that's our Lord God. And if we've lived a life that has received Jesus Christ and reflected Jesus Christ and revered his name, that judgment that's coming and is coming, we can see through a whole different light. But if you've lived a life that has rejected Jesus Christ, if you've lived a life that has been a reproach to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have lived a life that has just restrained the Lord working, denied him, Hebrews says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You see, what we do on this earth matters. For some reason, a lot of Christians don't think it does. And let me just say this, serving God is not a bummer. And there seems to be a lot of people that are just like, well, if I serve God completely like you preach, it's going to be so boring. The last thing in my life is boring. It's going to be so dull. No. It's not going to be happy. I'm the happiest guy I know. I enjoy my own company. I mean, I just always, I love life. Now, there are things out there that I hate, but I'm still enjoying the ride. The happiest people on the face of the earth should be God's children that are living God's way.
That's right.
Amen. Because no matter what we go through on this earth, it's going to be so worth it when we stand before God on this day. There is an appointment. There is an authority. There is an arbitration. There will be an accountability. We have an advocate. But then I want you to see, as we close this message, an addendum. Something added here at the end of this verse. It's interesting to me. In the day when God, the authority, in the day, the appointment, shall judge the arbitration, the secrets of men, the accountability, by Jesus Christ, our advocate, according to my gospel. Now, Paul adds this last part on this verse, and there's no mistake here. Holy Spirit wouldn't have it in here if it was a mistake. And Paul is not saying that he's adding anything like his gospel is different than anyone else's gospel. That is not the statement he's making. What he is saying here is this: you've heard me preach this before. When I've preached the gospel, I've always preached this. You know my message has not changed. And if there's one thing I think that God's churches in 2021 need to get back to, is the entire preaching of the gospel. We preach and praise the Lord for our, we preach against sin, and we preach about the death and the burial and the resurrection. But the complete preaching of the gospel is this: there is a judgment. There is a judgment. We preach sin. We preach the Lord Jesus died on the cross. We preach that he rose again. And may we continue preaching as Paul did, the complete gospel, for which he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God. And that gospel includes the fact that while we look at someone, and praise God, someone looked at us and said that there is sin, and we are sinners, but Christ died for our sin, Christ rose from the grave, and now eyeball to eyeball, I give you the complete gospel in telling you this, and you will stand before God one day. And what you do with Christ is going to matter. What you've done with the Lord Jesus Christ is going to matter. Because there is an appointment, there is an authority, and there will be an arbitration, and we are going to give an account. We have an advocate. And don't forget, it matters what you do with Christ.